Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
22117 Commonwealth versus Karen Reed.
All right, so I was told counsel wanted to see me.
Good morning, Your Honor. Yes,
good morning.
We just have one brief issue we want to raise for the court. Okay. We wanted to confirm whether experts in this case are permitted to watch testimony in order to prepare for rebuttal. We'd ask for that.
For rebuttal, like post?
For responding.
For responding, okay.
In our case, in chief, for both sides.
Okay. What's your position? Ms. Little, you want to?
Yes, we do.
All right. Mr. Brennan, is there any reason not to?
I need to give it some thought. I'm not willing to agree. I'll abide by whatever the court thinks is fair.
So why don't you think about it and we'll address it later today. Okay, there's no expert testimony today, right?
There's not.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sure. Is that it? Ready to bring the jury in?
That's all.
You wanted a ruling on the clip from yesterday?
I did.
All right, you can play it.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll take a quick break.
All right.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having anything to do before the Honorable Beverly Cannoni, the Justice of the Superior Court, now holding in debtor within and for the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is in session. Please be seated.
22-117, the Commonwealth versus Karen Reed.
All right, good morning again, counsel. Good morning, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, jurors. I have to ask you those same three questions. Were you all able to follow the instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we were here yesterday?
Yes.
Everyone said yes and nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow the instructions and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes and nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since we left here yesterday?
No.
Everyone said no or should be. Thank you very much. Can we bring Mr. Whitley back in, please?
Ms. Tianetti, you can step up to the podium.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, I'll remind you, you're still under oath.
Thank you.
Can I proceed?
Yes.
Mr. Whitley, yesterday you testified that when Karen Reed was brought to the hospital, she didn't want to get into a hospital Johnny and she didn't want to give a urine sample. Do you recall that testimony?
I do.
It was clear to you that her reluctance to cooperate at that time was because she very much wanted to check on John's progress and status at the hospital, correct?
No, I don't believe that to be the case.
Well, you testified before the grand jury regarding this matter 3 years ago, didn't you?
I don't believe I said that she was reluctant.
I didn't ask you that question. You testified before the grand jury 3 years ago, didn't you?
I testified before the grand jury 3 years ago.
You were under oath then, as you're under oath today, correct?
Correct.
You swore to tell the truth.
I am telling the truth.
You swore to tell the truth in 2022 before the grand jury, did you not?
I did.
That was less than 3 months after you brought Karen Reed to the hospital, didn't you?
Yeah.
And your memory of what happened at the hospital was very good in April of 2022, right?
As good as today?
Your memory in April of 2022 was very good, wasn't it?
It was very good as it is today.
Okay, so you want to add the as it is today, despite the fact that you weren't asked that question. Is that right?
Objection.
Sustained.
All right. When questioned by Mr. Lally at the grand jury, you were asked the following question. So what, if any, interaction did you have with her, meaning Ms. Reed, at the hospital once you were there? You remember that question, right?
I do.
And your answer was, so we, after that, I helped escort her down to, they call it the psych hallway, where they have rooms set up for psychiatric patients for their evaluation. And then she was unhappy that she wasn't able to see him, meaning John. And she kept trying to. She didn't want to get into a hospital Johnny. She didn't want to, I believe, give a urine sample. She was not, the nurses were asking her to do certain things that every patient has to do, and she was not cooperating with them. Do you remember that answer?
I do.
So 3 years ago, when you testified about this issue of giving a urine sample, you testified under oath that you believed that she didn't want to give a urine sample, correct?
Correct.
Yesterday, 3 years later, you testified with certainty that she didn't want to give them, right?
Yeah, she was giving them a hard time about having to give a urine sample.
Right. No, I'm asking you about your testimony yesterday in contrast to the grand jury, sir.
Okay.
To the extent that I ask yes or no question, I'd like yes or no answers.
So
okay?
No instructions to the witness, Mr. Iannetti.
Your Honor,
ask
may
a question.
The witness be instructed to answer the question yes or no if it calls for a yes or no question.
So
answer.
Answer the question that's asked of you. Okay?
Okay.
So go ahead, ask a question.
You testified yesterday that she didn't want to give a urine sample without saying it was your belief that she didn't want to give one, correct?
Correct.
In any case, were you aware that when she was asked to give a urine sample, that Ms. Reed had gotten her period and did not have a tampon?
I was aware she was on her period, yes.
You're also aware that when somebody is brought to the hospital for a Section 12, they have no privacy, isn't that right?
They have medical privacy. Either the tech or the nurse would be with the patient at all times.
Okay. With them at all times, observing them at all times, correct?
So they wouldn't be, she wasn't in like a hallway open to the public.
Understood, sir. But she also, when I said privacy, what I was asking is, she was not allowed to go to the bathroom alone to give a urine sample, correct?
Correct. She was a psychiatric patient.
Right. So she would have to use the bathroom in front of hospital personnel or some medical personnel with people watching her while she was on her period with no tampon, correct?
I would understand that to be true.
All right. And you're aware that she did cooperate and eventually give a blood sample as well, correct?
I'm not aware of a blood sample, but urine sample, yes.
She did give the urine sample.
Correct.
Now, in your testimony yesterday, you discussed the topic of your memory of what Karen Reed may have asked you about John surviving in the snow with light clothing. You remember those questions?
I remember asking about not having a jacket, correct?
Now, starting at the end of the day, when I cross-examined you yesterday, I asked you about that topic, and I said to you, you mentioned something about hypothermia, that you assumed you may have been dealing with a hypothermia situation, and your answer was, well, she said that he had been out in the snow without a jacket for many hours, correct?
Correct.
But before I cross-examined you at the end of the day yesterday, you previously testified 3 times about this topic, correct?
I believe it would be the grand jury and the previous trial.
Right, and direct examination when Mr. Brennan was asking you questions before I stood up, correct?
Okay, yes.
Let's start with the first time you testified about this topic back in 2022. That was, again, less than 3 months after you had a conversation with Ms. Reed at the scene on January 29th, correct?
Correct.
Her statements and questions to you at the scene were fresh in your mind in April of 2022, correct?
Correct.
In April of 2022, before the grand jury, Mr. Lally asked you, quote, what, if any, questions did she ask you regarding hypothermia? Do you remember that question?
I do.
Your answer was, she was just wondering if he could have survived outside in the cold even though he didn't have a jacket on. Do you remember giving that answer?
I do.
Nowhere in that answer, in 2022, less than 3 months after these events, do you attribute the words, quote, many hours, end quote, in the snow to Ms. Reed, correct?
Yes, I was not asked.
I'm not asking for an explanation, sir. I'm asking for an answer.
All right, so he was answering you, Mr. Yannetti.
My question called for a yes or no answer. Nowhere in your answer in 2022 do you attribute the words many hours in the snow to Ms. Reed, yes or no?
No, I did not say that at that point.
Nowhere in your answer in 2022 do you testify that Ms. Reed told you he had actually been in the snow for many hours, correct?
She did.
Sir, I'm asking you about your testimony.
I object.
So let him answer the question.
Let me ask it again. Nowhere in your answer in 2022 did you testify that Ms. Reed told you he had actually been in the snow for many hours, correct?
In 2022, I testified that I was just told to be brief and give generalizations. She quantified many hours in the snow. Right, when we were back at the
let me try this again,
so,
sir.
So, Mr. Yannetti, you're just saying 2022. Get to a date,
of course,
and a
yes.
place.
April of 2022, okay, before the grand jury. My question again, and I'm still seeking a yes or no answer from you, okay? Nowhere in your answer, in April of 2022, before the grand jury, did you testify under oath that Ms. Reed told you that John had actually been in the snow for many hours, correct?
Not in 2022 of April, no.
Okay. The next time you testified under oath was last year in 2024, correct?
Correct.
During that testimony, Mr. Lally asked you, oh, by the way, so 2022 is no mention of many hours, right?
I did not, and I was told to be brief on the grand jury stand.
But again, no mention of right. many hours in 2022, okay. Now, 2024, last year, Mr. Lally asked you, so Firefighter Whitley, at some point, specific to your conversations with the defendant, Ms. Reed, can you describe sort of her demeanor or any observations you made in relation to that as you were speaking with her? And your answer was, yes. She was very upset. She kept asking if there was any chance. She kept asking us if we knew if the person Ambulance 1 had transported was alive or dead, and we could not speak to that. She asked if somebody could be alive in the snow without a jacket for many hours, correct?
Correct.
So 2022, there was no mention of many hours. 2024, over time, now that's the first time that you mention the
the words many hours in your testimony regarding this case, correct?
Correct.
All right. And when you testified last year, you testified still that she was asking you a question about surviving in the snow, correct?
Correct.
So then we come to yesterday on direct examination. Do you recall that Mr. Brennan yesterday asked you, before you left, were you having any conversations with the defendant, and you answered yes? Recall that yesterday?
Is that at the hospital?
I'm asking you yesterday, do you recall Mr. Brennan asking you, before you left essentially the scene, were you having any conversations with the defendant, and your answer was yes?
You're talking about Lee, I'm just trying to make sure we're talking about the same instance. Are we talking about when we left the hospital or when we left Fairview Road?
When you were at Fairview Road, leaving Fairview Road, we're talking about the same subject of what Ms. Reed supposedly told you or asked you. Okay? Mr. Brennan went into that with you.
So on the way to, you're talking on the way to the hospital in terms of left. When we left.
Well, before you left. He meant before you left the scene.
Okay, no, I'm just trying to clarify.
Again, it's the same conversation, Mr. Whitley. I'm not trying to trick you.
Mr. Iannetti, he just asked for a point of reference. It's clear. Now go.
Understood. And Mr. Brennan said, can you share with the jury what those conversations were about? And your answer was, so we were talking. She was upset. She kept asking if there was any chance her husband could be alive, even sitting outside in the snow without any coat for many hours. Do you recall that answer that you gave yesterday on direct examination?
Yes.
And that was the first time that you mentioned that she said, supposedly, or asked supposedly, about him sitting outside in the snow, correct?
I was just using phrases generally speaking. At that point, I was paraphrasing. I was not speaking verbatim to what she said.
Let's try that again. That was the first time that you mentioned that she claimed or asked that he was sitting outside, correct?
It could have been sitting, laying, being.
Let's try it a third time.
So just ask the question, not let's try it,
sure.
Let's try it.
Was that the first time that you testified under oath that Ms. Reed said or asked about him sitting outside?
Are you asking me to clarify whether she used the word sitting?
I'm not asking to clarify anything. I'm asking you whether that was the first time yesterday during direct examination that you mentioned that she asked about him sitting outside.
I'm sorry. I am very confused because I'm trying to figure out if he was being outside, sitting outside.
I'm asking you about Ms. Reed's statements, sir. That's all I've been asking you about. Her
okay.
statements to you and your testimony about her statements to you. Was yesterday on direct examination the first time that you testified under oath that Ms. Reed mentioned the words sitting outside?
I don't know. I'm just using, she might have said laying outside, being outside, outside.
So when you testified yesterday before this jury,
yes,
that she mentioned the words sitting outside, you're now saying that might not have been accurate, correct?
It could have been a different word.
Okay, but you didn't say it could have been a different word yesterday, you just left it as sitting outside, correct?
Yeah, that's okay. What I said, sitting.
All right, so now we get from, you know, the grand jury with no many hours mentioned to questions about many hours, to sitting outside, to let's talk about what you said on cross-examination.
I object.
Okay, the objection sustained.
Sure. On cross-examination, your words were, she said he had been out in the snow without a jacket on for many hours, correct?
She had asked if he had been outside. If there was any chance he could be alive, even though he was outside without a jacket for many hours.
So it always was a question, correct?
It was a question.
She never said what you said on cross-examination yesterday, which was, She said that he had been out in the snow without a jacket on for many hours. That was not a declarative statement by Ms. Reed, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow that. Was that a declarative statement by Ms. Reed?
She asked if he could be alive without a jacket in the snow for many hours.
So it was a question, sir.
She asked me, and we were just trying to give her hope in terms of telling stories of hypothermic patients that could survive outside in the snow.
Okay, is there any redirect?
Briefly.
Okay.
When you were called to the grand jury, was the testimony as in-depth and as long as it is in front of this jury?
No, not even close.
When you're recounting your memories of what happened, do you memorize word for word what you've said in the past?
Objection.
As to that form, it's sustained.
When you're recounting the past, do you record your statements personally?
Objection.
I'm going to let that one. Do you record your statements?
No.
Next question.
When you testified in the grand jury, page 90, line 15, and you said, the defendant told you, I'm upset if he dies, I want to die. And then you later testify last year, and you said, if my husband dies, I want to die. Do you notice the little differences between those phrases?
I do.
Is that you making up words?
No.
Is that you trying to help a case?
Objection.
As to form, that's sustained.
Are you inventing facts?
No.
Sir, when you were recounting what happened that day, are you using your best memory?
Objection.
Sustained.
When you were asked by the defendant, about how long, or someone out in the snow without a jacket for many hours, do you remember that conversation with her?
I do.
Where were you during that conversation?
We were in the back of the ambulance.
Do you remember it distinctly?
I remember it distinctly. She was looking at me.
When you tried to give her hope and comfort, and you told her stories about other situations where people, maybe children, have fallen through the ice and had hypothermia, did you have that conversation with her in trying to comfort her?
I did.
Do you remember that conversation?
I do.
Did you necessarily share those conversations with the grand jury?
I don't recall if I did or I didn't.
Did you ever write that in your report?
No.
Is it something you typically put everything in your report?
No, we do not write. Generally, we only write patient complaint, what happened, what they did. Not their opinions or anything like that to what's going on.
Do you have any interest in the outcome of this case?
I do not.
How long have you been a firefighter for?
Since March of 2006, and an EMT since November of 2002.
Over 20 years?
Correct.
You said that you live near Kerry Roberts?
I do.
You've been to a block party for the kids where you've brought the fire engine down?
I do.
Objection.
I'm going to allow it.
When you're at that block party, do you ever step out and have secret meetings with Kerry Roberts trying to corroborate some conspiracy on their behalf?
Objection. No.
I'm going to allow that.
No.
Put your career on the line.
Objection.
Sustained.
No further questions.
Any follow-up, Mr. Unetti?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Firefighter Whitley, you are all set.
Thank you.
Like to play clip 5, Your Honor?
And his mother leans over the kitchen island and says to me, I think he looks like he got hit by a car. He looks like he got hit by a car.
All right, who's your next witness, Mr. Brennan?
Next witness is Jean DeMoulis.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You saw me swear the evidence given to the court and jury in the case now here to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Yes, you can see.
Good morning.
You just scooch in close to the microphone. Thanks.
May I proceed?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you please introduce yourself to the jury?
My name is Jean DeMulis. I am the general manager at CF McCarthy's in Gant.
I'm going to ask you to keep your voice up, if you would, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
You said you're the general manager at CF McCarthy's?
In Canton, yes.
In Canton. How long have you been the general manager at CF McCarthy's in Canton for?
For 6 years.
Can you briefly describe for the jury what CF McCarthy's is?
It is a restaurant and bar.
At CF McCarthy's, is there a video surveillance system inside?
Yes.
Who owns that video surveillance system?
CF McCarthy's.
Are you familiar with the video system?
Yes.
Have you ever looked at it before?
Yes.
Do you employ people to help the establishment with the video system?
No.
You maintain it on your own?
Yes.
At some point, were you visited by somebody from the Massachusetts State Police?
Yes.
Were you asked whether or not they could view some of your video surveillance?
Yes.
Do you remember the date? Not the date they came to visit you, the date that they were looking for.
I believe it was January 28th of 2022.
Around that time?
Yes.
Did you allow access to the video system?
Yes.
Did you oversee that access to the video system?
Yes.
Was it a state police officer?
It was two state police detectives.
Do you remember their names?
I remember one of the detectives' names. I do not remember the other detective.
The one you remember, could you share the name?
It was Detective Buchnick, Yuri.
Detective Yuri Buchnick.
Yes.
At some point, was he allowed to download information from the surveillance system?
Yes.
Did you watch him do that?
Yes, I did.
At some point, have you been able to briefly look at some of that download?
Yes.
And does it appear to be a fair and accurate depiction of the surveillance or the area of your bar?
Yes.
Move to introduce.
Okay, there's no objection, Ms. Giannetti.
There is no objection, Your Honor.
Exhibit 18, so Mark.
Thank you.
Your Honor, may I play just a small portion?
Sure.
Thank you. Ma'am, I'm going to show you just some random shots from this video, but I want to know if you recognize it. Is this the inside of CF McCarthy's?
Yes.
I'm not asking if you have any particular knowledge or information about that night. I just want to know if is this a fair and accurate depiction of what CF McCarthy's looks like?
Yes.
So has there been any substantive, significant changes to the inside of that establishment?
No.
Since this video was taken?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Gilman. Your Honor, I have no further questions.
Okay.
I have no questions.
All right. Ms. Gilman, you're all set.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
No, it's that comes.
Your next witness, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you. Bridget Meehan.
The evidence of the court and jury in the case now hearing to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
I do. Good morning.
Good morning.
May I proceed?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you introduce yourself to the jury, please?
My name is Bridget Meehan.
Where do you work?
I work at the Waterfall Bar and Grill.
in Canton.
The name maybe tells us a little bit about it, but could you just share a couple lines of what the Waterfall Bar and Grill is?
It's a small family-owned business in Canton. It's in a mixed condo complex.
Are you involved in the ownership of it?
Yes.
How long have you been involved with the Waterfall Bar and Grill?
We've been there approximately 10 years.
Do you help run the establishment?
Yes, I do.
And you were running the establishment back on January 28, 2022?
Yes.
At some point, were you asked or visited to see if your establishment had video surveillance of the inside?
I was.
Does your establishment have video surveillance of the inside?
It does.
Do you have a camera and a server?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you provide video surveillance to the Massachusetts State Police from that night, January 28, 2022?
Yes.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'd like to move this in as an exhibit, please.
Okay. Ms. Tianetti?
No objection.
Thank you.
Exhibit 22.
With the court's permission?
Yes.
Thank you. Ma'am, I'm going to show you just a brief clip. Okay, stop, please. Do you see that video?
I do.
Does that depict the inside of McCarthy's?
No.
I'm sorry, the Waterfall?
Yes.
I'm trying to switch establishments on you. Back on January 28, 2022, does that look the way it looked then?
Yes.
Has there been any significant changes inside since then?
No.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay.
I have no questions.
All right, Ms. Meehan, you
thank you.
And watch this step coming down.
Thank you. Is my camera on there?
All right, your next witness, Mr. Brennan.
Commonwealth calls Mike Camerano.
Hold on, can you follow me? Please.
So,
what's
your step
on
that? Raise your hand.
You saw me, swear the evidence you give the court during the case now, you're judging the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Okay. Get the stand.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May I?
Please.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Could you please introduce yourself to the jury?
Hi, good morning. My name is Michael Camerano.
Mr. Camerano, can I ask how old you are? I'm sorry.
Spell your last name.
Camerano.
And so if you could either move the microphone down a little bit or speak up or maybe a combination of both, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Could I ask you how old you are?
48.
Where do you live?
Canton, Mass.
How long have you lived in Canton for?
Me and my wife have lived there for 20 years. Me and my wife have lived there for 20 years. We have two children.
How old are your children, sir?
My daughter is 17. My son is 14.
Did you know John O'Keefe?
Yes.
How did you know him?
I met John for the first time at his sister's... they had a benefit for his sister in 2000, I think, 13. I met John there for the first time. And then years later, our kids got involved with sports together and they became very close. As they became close, I became very close with John and his family.
Was your daughter close with John's niece?
Yes.
Was your son close with?
Yes.
Did you spend a lot of time together through sports and socially?
Yes, we did.
I want to take you forward to January 28th of 2022.
Okay.
Do you remember that day?
Yes.
Had you, without any discussion of what might have been said, did you have any discussions with John that day?
Yes.
Did you have a plan?
Yes, we were communicating.
At some point, did you decide that you were going to spend some time or go meet John?
Yes. That Friday, my daughter and his daughter, they got acceptance letters to school. So we wanted to get them together so they could enjoy the time together. And, you know, just, you know, go over, like, how it'll be so much fun. Something new and different. Yeah, so we were going to meet up after I got out of work.
Was your daughter planning to go to a new school?
Yes.
Where?
Bishop Fian.
And how about his niece?
Same.
They both got accepted
to the same school.
Was it a celebratory move?
Yes.
Did you have a plan to bring the children together so they could celebrate?
Yes, we did.
And then separately you were going to meet John and celebrate?
Correct.
Okay. Where did you drop your daughter off?
I dropped my daughter off at John. I went into John's. I was at the house with John and the girls, and we had a little celebration. Talked about how nice it's going to be, fun, change, different, meet new people.
And you celebrated at John's house before you went out?
Correct.
After the celebration with your children, did you and John leave?
Yes.
During that celebration, was there anybody there other than you, John, and your two daughters?
No. No. Karen was not there.
Was there anybody else there?
No, just the two girls, myself and John.
What was the weather like that night?
It was cold. It was not snowing yet.
Was there an expectation for the next morning?
Yes, there was an expectation. Yes.
And what was that?
That there was going to be a big snowstorm coming in.
A storm was coming?
Yes.
When you left, did you leave in a separate car then, John, or did you leave together?
No, we left together. John got in my car, and we were leaving. We're going to leave.
Where were the girls?
The girls were in the house, stayed in the house.
They were staying at John's house?
Yes, correct.
Where did you go?
We went to C.F. McCarthy's.
When you got there, did you know anybody who was there other than you and John?
At that time, no.
Did you spend time at C.F. McCarthy's?
Yes.
Were you drinking?
Yes.
Was John drinking?
Yes.
Alcohol?
Yes.
How long were you there for?
A couple hours.
While you were there, did anybody come and meet you that you knew?
Yes.
Who?
A friend. And then Karen came in.
Okay. The friend?
Yes.
What was the friend's name?
Kurt.
And then how long after you first got there was it that the defendant arrived?
I would like to say within an hour or so. Not 100% sure.
You said back home it was a celebratory mood. Was it still a celebratory mood at McCarthy's?
Yes.
When the defendant arrived, did she spend time with you and John?
I've talked briefly to her, and her and John were mostly talking.
Okay. You didn't see any issues?
No.
Okay. It was a normal night?
Seemed to be, yes.
As far as you could see?
Yes.
And you saw John drinking?
Yes.
Did you see the defendant drinking?
I saw her with a glass, yes.
Okay. Did you leave at the same time that John left?
No, I did not.
When you left, was John still at the establishment?
Yes.
When you left, was the defendant still with him?
Yes.
Why did you leave?
I left because I got a phone call. My son was playing hockey in a backyard, and he got hit with a stick and lost his tooth.
Oh. Where did you go?
I went to my son's friend's house.
Do you know about what time that was when you went to see your son?
I would like to say 9:30, in between 9:30 and 10.
You didn't go back to McCarthy's that night, did you?
No, I did not.
After you helped your son, where did you go next?
I went to pick up my daughter, Madeline.
Did you go
at John's house?
Did you go in John's house?
No, I did not.
When you got to John's house, did your daughter come out?
No. We went to the side door and rang the doorbell.
And then what happened?
And then my daughter came to the door.
Where'd you go?
From there, we left and went home.
When you went home, had the weather changed at all?
It was cool. It might have been flurrying at that time.
No accumulation?
No.
You got home?
Yes.
Did you do anything significant when you got home?
Put the kids to bed, my son, and no, I went to bed.
What's the next thing you remember happening?
Waking up to, I missed some phone calls.
Who were the missed phone calls from?
From my wife and Karen.
What did you do?
I called my wife.
After speaking to your wife, what did you do?
I got in my car and drove to John's house.
About what time was this?
In between maybe 5 and 6 a.m.
What was your mood at that point?
I was panicked.
Why did you go to John's house?
Because I went to get Kaylee.
Did you know if she was alone?
Yes.
How long did it take you to get to John's house?
Maybe 5-7 minutes.
When you get to John's house, what do you see?
I pull in the driveway. I see that the garage door is open. I go in through the garage door. I don't know if Kaylee was standing there, if the door, she came out the door, and I asked her, if she needed anything. She could get in my car and stay warm.
When you first saw Kaylee, what did she look like?
She looked distraught.
Did you try to help her?
Well, I just said everything will be okay. Yeah.
Did she come with you?
Yes.
Where are you going?
To my house.
So what happens?
So we go to my house, and my daughter's up, and the two girls are just, they were hanging downstairs, just hanging out, just being kids. And then, I don't know, a couple hours later, maybe, Paul called me and asked me to bring Kaylee home. point? I did,
yes. You did or didn't?
At that point, I did, when Paul had told me.
So what do you do?
Ask Madeline and Kaylee if... I say, Madeline, will you come for the ride? I don't say anything to Kaylee, and we get in the car, and I start heading back to John's house.
And you didn't say anything to Kaylee?
No, I didn't. I just said everything will be all right. She had a feeling.
Why do you say that?
She didn't want to go home.
So what happens next?
So I pull in the driveway, and I remember Paul and Papa standing. I think they were standing at the side door, and we just embraced.
Did you stay?
Not long. No.
Did you go back?
I went back to my house.
Did you go back to John's house?
I did the next day, yes, I was there.
When you went back, were there people there?
Yes.
Many?
There was people coming and going.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Thank you,
Good morning, Mr. Cameron.
Good morning.
This is quite painful for you to remember the events of January 28th, is it not?
Yes.
You were very close with your friend John O'Keefe, correct?
I was close with him, yes.
And you actually met Karen Reed through John, correct?
Correct.
After meeting Karen, you spent a good amount of time with both Karen and John, correct?
Correct.
As of January 28th of 2022, you had known Karen for maybe about a year or so?
Sounds correct.
And you'd see them especially on Fridays, correct?
Correct.
That would be sort of the day that you get together with both of them often?
Yes.
And of course, your children spent a lot of time with John and Karen, right?
Correct.
You entrusted both Karen and John with your kids?
Yes.
Sometimes your kids would even go on vacation with Karen and John, right?
They did go to the Cape, yes.
Sometimes you'd see Karen without John at your house or on a ball field?
Correct.
And your daughter in particular would sometimes spend time with just Karen without John, correct?
Correct.
Your daughter would sometimes go over to Karen's house in Mansfield when she lived there, correct?
Correct.
And obviously when your daughter would go to Karen's house in Mansfield, Karen would be the one in charge of caring for her, correct?
Correct.
And you were fine with that because you liked and you trusted Karen, right?
Correct.
And in your view, Karen was very good with kids, right?
Correct.
But you also had the opportunity to see Karen and John together, right?
Yes.
You saw how they interacted with each other over that year period that you knew Karen?
Yes.
You saw how they got along?
Yes.
You never observed any arguments or bickering, correct?
They argued and bickered.
You had previously testified that you wouldn't even call it arguing, you'd just call it banter, right?
Yes, I mean, he would get upset or, like, over if she bought expensive things for the kids.
Right.
Yes.
We will get to that. That would be the one thing that John would complain about, Karen buying like very nice things for his niece and nephew, right?
Correct.
Or he'd complain if, you know, Karen was taking his niece and other girls to get their nails done, like extravagances like that?
Correct.
And one specific memory you have is when Karen bought his niece a very expensive sweater, right?
Correct.
And you recall John telling you that he wished that she hadn't done that because he considered that to be spoiling the girl, correct?
Yes.
But it was very clear to you from your observations that Karen really, really liked John. John really, really liked Karen, right?
Sustained.
He certainly never told you or even suggested he was thinking about or planning to break up with Karen, right?
No.
Okay, so with regard to that Friday night, January 28th, sir, the plan was for you and John to go to McCarthy's to have some drinks because there was a storm coming in, correct? And because of the celebration of the girls getting into Bishop Fenn?
Yeah, we were going out. It wasn't a continuation of the celebration of the girls. We were going out to have a few beers as guys.
Okay. And when you were leaving the house, John asked you to move your car, right?
Correct.
Where was your car when John asked you to move it that night?
Actually, I backed up my car. We were leaving the driveway, and John asked me to stop so he could move his car.
I see. And he wanted you to move your car because of the storm coming in, and he wanted Karen to be able to pull her car into the garage, right?
Correct.
And that was really thoughtful of him, wasn't it?
Yes. Extremely.
And it showed you that he was being chivalrous toward Karen that night, right?
Yes.
He didn't want Karen to be out in the heavy snow later when she returned to his house during the expected blizzard, right?
Yes.
Sustained.
You took from that there was an expectation that Karen would be coming back to his house, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
You had no inkling that day that anything was wrong between Karen and John, correct?
No.
Everything seemed fine between the two of them, right?
Yes, he did mention though that night that didn't understand why Karen had a plumber go to the house.
Because he had somebody that could have done that work instead of paying for the plumber, right?
Well, yes, yes.
Okay.
And
but in any case, the plan was for Karen to meet up with the two of you, right?
Yes.
And she did show up to McCarthy's at about 8:30 p.m. or so?
If that's the time.
And you saw an affection...
I'm sorry, what was the answer that you said?
If that was the time, I'm not sure about the timeline.
Okay. It was sometime after you had gotten there. Right.
Correct.
But you do remember when Karen arrived, there was an affectionate greeting between John and Karen, right?
Yes.
You saw them kiss, right?
Yes.
You saw John put his arm around Karen?
Correct.
And you saw that Karen sort of nestled into his embrace?
Correct.
And when she did that, that's when he kissed her, correct?
Yes.
And they seemed happy to see each other, did they not?
They did.
That night they were affectionate?
Yes.
Laughing?
Yes.
Happy?
Yes.
Like a normal couple?
Yes.
No arguments?
No.
You witnessed no bickering, no tension, correct?
No.
And during the month before John's passing, that January of 2022, you observed their relationship in your presence to be normal, caring, and affectionate, right?
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir.
You were asked a number of questions about the relationship between John and Karen that night. Do you know what was going on behind closed doors other than what you saw?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
No.
Do you know whether or not they texted each other that day?
No, that day, no.
Do you know whether or not there was any arguments that day?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
Not to my... I don't know if they were arguing over the plumber situation.
Do you know if there's any vulgarities that day?
No.
Do you know if there's any vulgarities that night?
No, not to my knowledge.
Do you know whether or not John was trying to end the relationship with Miss Reed?
Objection.
Do you know that, sir?
No.
Next question.
Do you know if there was any jealousy in that relationship?
Objection.
I'll allow
it. I mean, Karen wouldn't let, they did everything together, a lot of things together, and I thought at times, you could see, she didn't want other women around John. I don't know, not at that, but...
Okay. Thank you.
Any follow-up?
Nothing
for you. All right, Mr. Cameron, are you all set, sir?
Thank you.
Sir, I'll just have to come down,
please. I'll see counsel at sidebar for just a minute, please.
May I?
Please.
I'm going to recall Nick Garino.
Okay.
Please.
Sure, you can have a seat. I'll remind you you're still in your room.
Or stand, however you're most comfortable today. Just do whatever you need to do, okay?
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, everyone.
Sir, yesterday we talked about downloading phones and making what you called extractions.
Yes.
And from that data, you could create different types of reports.
So have Detective Guarino say his name again, please.
I'm sorry. Again, for the record, could you introduce yourself to the jury and spell your last name for the record?
Yeah. Good morning. My name is Nicholas Guarino, G-U-A-R-I-N-O.
Thank you.
Sir, you mentioned yesterday that you downloaded a number of phones, or you were involved in the process of downloading a number of phones.
That's correct.
You explained to us that after you have the data analyzed, you can pinpoint certain items that you may want to put in a document.
Yes, yeah, so the extractions into a program of our choosing, Cellbrite is the most commonly used, and then we can take call logs or text messages, any information that the investigator is looking for.
When you downloaded Mr. O'Keefe's phone and you downloaded the defendant's phone, did you try to create or did you create a report through Cellbrite, the software, that would show you all of Mr. O'Keefe's call logs?
Yes, I did.
And when I use the term call logs, what does that mean?
The call logs are the calls that the phone receives.
How do you create a report from Cellbrite? Can you just walk us through that process briefly?
Yep, so in the program, you can go in and select the calls from it and export it into different formats, PDF, XML, HTML, or you can create a portable case and extract them all as a portable case that we would see on my computer.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Showing you a document of Mr. O'Keefe's call logs, do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what is it?
It is the call logs, just want to make sure it's between John O'Keefe and the defendant from, so I'm going to see the dates, the 28th, January 28th, 2022 to January 29th, 2022.
Would this contain all the phone calls from his phone data for the calls between those two parties that night?
Yes, that's what I created.
Thank you. I'd like to move this as an exhibit, please.
Okay.
So, if I could, Your Honor, just want to compare and make sure we have the same.
Okay.
Thing. Thank you, Mr. Brennan. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. Content.
Okay.
No objection.
Is it 23?
You captured all of the phone calls between two parties on that last document. Can you also do that with chats?
Yes, that is true.
And did you do that in this case?
Yes, I did.
Did you create a document of chats between the phones of the defendant and Mr. O'Keefe for after midnight, for the evening hours of January 29, 2002?
Yes, I did.
May I approach?
Yes.
I'm good.
You recognize that document, sir?
Yes, I do.
And can tell us what that is?
These are the texts from the defendant to John O'Keefe. Yes.
For January 29, 2022?
Yes, that's correct. I'm sorry.
I move this as an exhibit, Your Honor.
Okay. No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Exhibit 24.
Did you identify or specify chat messages between John O'Keefe and a person named Jen McCabe?
Yes, I did.
Did you create a Cellbrite report?
Yes, I did.
May I approach?
Yes.
Can we have just a brief moment, please?
At sidebar?
No, no.
Just the two of them?
Comparative of what we have.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Brennan.
You're welcome. Sir, I'm handing you a document. Do you recognize it?
Yes. This is the text message between John O'Keefe and Jen McCabe on January 29th, 2022.
And this is through a search of Cellbrite, you match their data to pull up all of their conversations?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I move to introduce this, please, Your Honor.
Okay. No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
25. Similarly to the chats, did you do the same with calls between Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. McCabe?
Yes, I did.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Showing you a document, sir. Do you recognize that document?
Yes, this is the call log between John O'Keefe and Jen McCabe for, just want to make sure I have all the dates correct, just for January 29th, 2022.
Thank you. I think this is evidence, Your Honor.
Okay.
No objection, Your Honor.
Exhibit 26.
Did you do a file extraction and a report on all chats between the phones of John O'Keefe and the defendant for a period of time?
Yes, I did.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Handing you a document. Do you recognize that document?
Yes, this is the text messages between John O'Keefe and the defendant from January 28th to January 29th, 2022.
Thank you. Do you want to move this into evidence?
Okay. Mr. Lessie?
No objection, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
27.
Did you have an opportunity to make a report from some of the data from the defendant's phone from January
29, 2022? What are you referring? I did make some reports from the defendant's phone. Okay.
What's a call log report?
Again, the call log report is the calls that the party makes to another phone. So it's going to show everyone they've called or attempted to call.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to take a look at this document. Do you recognize it?
Yes.
And could you tell the jury what it is?
It's the call log from the defendant's phone on for January 29th, 2022.
Thank you.
For, it looks like everyone she called.
Introduce this as an exhibit, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Exhibit 28.
What we just introduced into evidence is the entire call log of calls to anybody and everybody to and from for that period of time.
Yes.
That's fair to say?
Yes, that's correct.
And then can you further isolate calls between just two parties?
Yes, you can. You can search by phone number or name.
And did you do that with the defendant's records for some parties?
Yes, I did.
Did you isolate phone calls between the defendant and Ms. McCabe for the evening of January 29, 2022?
Yes, I did.
May I approach?
Yes.
Can I ask you to take a look at this document? Do you recognize it?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
It's the phone calls from the defendant and Jennifer McCabe, January 29th, 2022.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'd like to move this into evidence, please.
Mm-hmm. No objection, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
29.
Did you isolate calls between the defendant and Ms. Roberts for the night of January 29, 22?
Yes, I did.
Can I see the last exhibit, please? Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'd ask you to take a look at that document. Do you recognize it?
Yes, I do.
Could you share with the jury what it is?
Yep. It's the call logs between the defendant and Carrie Roberts for January 29th, 2022. Yes.
And that's a report you created?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, I'm going to listen to evidence, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Exhibit 30.
Did you have an opportunity to isolate and produce a report for all chats between the defendant and Ms. Roberts for the night of January 29, 2022?
Yes, I did.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Sir, I'm handing you a document. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And could you share with the jury what that is?
This is text messages between the defendant and Carrie Roberts on January 29th, 2022.
Thank you. I would move this to evidence, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay. Jurors, this is the way we have to put evidence in cases in Massachusetts, okay?
To the 31.
So do you have an opportunity to identify a text message or a chat between the defendant and a person by the name of Ingrid on the morning of January 29th, 2022?
Yes, I did.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you. You look at this document, do you recognize it?
Yes.
Can you tell the jury what that is?
Yes, this is a text conversation between the defendant and looks like a group chat between Ingrid Curtis and Bill Curtis.
Did you make that report?
Yes, this is on January 29, 2022.
Thank you. And move this into evidence, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Exhibit 32.
If this is a good time, if Your Honor would permit.
Okay. Jurors, what we're going to do is we will take our morning recess now, and we'll take 20 minutes to a half hour, and we'll see you then.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey. If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand. Through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.